This podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy. The Academy holds a number of courses specifically designed to help marketers and marketing professionals skill up and demonstrate their worth to either their clients or their employers. You can find out more at marketingdevelopment.academy.
People understanding that content marketing simply is marketing. It's not optional.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by the delightful Kim Doyle, all the way from West California. We have a great chat about content, about how to plan it, and about some of the products and the way Kim's journey has changed since he was last on the show. It's a great episode. Let's dive straight in. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and you are joining me and the wonderful returning guest, Kim Doyle. Kim, how are you doing?
What's up, Pete? I am thrilled. I'm just, life is good. Life is really good. Blue skies today. I have no complaints.
Well, we've had blue skies over here as well. I'm actually sat in shorts, which for April in England isn't bad.
No doubt.
Okay, we're probably not busting the sort of 70-odd degrees that you get over your side of the States. But, we had 19 degrees C today. That was enough to warrant shorts. It was good.
Simple pleasures, right?
Too right. You've got to do something to keep yourself sane sometimes. Kim's been on the show before. It was all the way back in episode 6, so I can't quite believe it's been so long since you've been on. And I know that there's been a ton of stuff that's gone on in the last year, Kim. So that's what I'd like to talk to you about. But before we get into all of that, do you want to sort of give the boys and girls at home a quick introduction as to who you are?
I'd love to. So I am now saying I totally bogarted Prince's phrase that I am formerly known as the WordPress chick, have been online. I can't believe this. It was 11 years this March.
Wow.
Yeah. And I thought I was going to be the ebook information millionaire right when I started, because that was all the promises, that or make $1 million off of AdSense or something. But, just kept going. Bottom line, I kept going and I pivoted to my personal brand. I'd been doing websites and I'm not a developer, so had an outsourcing team, and then I had an outsourcing company, and I've done for you podcasting and launched, which was probably what we talked about, attempted a SaaS product last year. That's a whole other story. And really, I swear, Pete, it's the craziest thing, but I feel like I've come home to what I was supposed to do from day one, which is all content marketing. I pivoted to my personal brand in 2018, and I've always loved content marketing, fell in love with it, didn't know what I wanted to do with it, and I just kept going. I swear that's kind of my mantra, but I've really gotten clear, have launched a physical product we're going to talk about, a content planner, and I don't know. I really feel like I'm in my sweet spot now.
That's great. That's great. And one of the things I know, so Kim and I are part of a number of groups online. So we do kind of bounce ideas off each other, and I'm sort of vaguely aware of what's going on in your world as it sort of happens. And one of the things that I love so much about you is that you're not sort of afraid to go at something 110%. And if it doesn't work out, you say, hey, you know what? I've learned a lot from it, and now I'm going to go and try something else.
I'm very public with the failures, is what you're trying to say, Pete. Yes.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm totally kidding.
But, you know, I had a chat with Chris Ducker the other day, and that's the show that's coming out this Monday that we're the 22nd, whenever, next week. And, you know, one of the things I talked about with Chris was that so many people get fixated on the end result that they forget about the journey of getting there. And actually, there can be so many twists and turns in the journey that you've got to embrace those, and you've got to enjoy those, and you've got to find self-worth in them. And some of them just aren't going to work. I mean, that's the reality. Some things will and some things won't. But if you're not trying, then you're just going to stay still. And that was kind of where we went with it.
Well, yeah. You know what's interesting, Pete, is it's like, I have to tell you, this is crazy, but my senior year in high school, which was a whole long time ago, my quote in the yearbook was, success is not the destination, but the quality of the journey. And I think it's taken, you know, through just trial and error. And you simply get that it's that ability to be present in the moment. And what happens, there's something strange about the online space. to me that people, I mean, nobody would open a restaurant and expect it to do $1 million tomorrow. There's a process, there's an evolution that happens, and you get customer feedback, and you know, you've got to get licenses and hire and all of those things. And we understand that. But for some reason in this space, maybe because we're flooded with, you know, great copy, and they understand the psychology of selling, but so we lose sight of that, and we have expectations about what our life is supposed to look like. And where that really shifted for me, to be honest with you, is I would say, I don't know. I mean, I've always shared kind of the vulnerability piece, and I baby stepped my way into it. But in terms of like being super public about business is, I want to say 2016, maybe I kind of made this conscious decision to focus on fundamentals and mastery and get good at the craft. And that was when I started the Almost Daily emails, which I've gotten back into just this week. And I literally let go of the expectation, and I said, I just want to get better at writing, and I want to get better at converting, you know, a story into a link and testing that model. And it was just like magic, because what people forget, excuse me, allergies, welcome to pollen in Northern California. but it's who you become in that process. And it's so intangible that people get impatient with it, right? But I instilled this massive sense of trust in myself after having done that. Like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just show up, and I'm going to do this. It was crickets for the first month. This is a simple example with the email, but it was crickets. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, I tripled my Thrive affiliate income because I don't promote stuff that I don't use or people that I know or whatever. And so it was fascinating to watch that evolution. And so it's simply when you're doing the work, it's just, I just learned what didn't work, right? I mean, it's that whole thing of I'm not taking someone else's course. Like, I'm not going to take Pete's SEO course and then in 2 months launch my own SEO course. There's a lot of that BS that happens online. But when you show up consistently and focus on the craft and have fun and you get immersed in what you're doing, I'm totally using my hands, way too much coffee today. But when you really dive in and you start seeing where you've gotten better at what you're doing, it doesn't feel, you just learn what didn't work. It's so much easier to share that. And that was a big differentiator for me, that, you know, trying a SaaS, opening it and closing it a few months after it opened, it was like, okay, it was a long, crazy journey. What would I do differently? I still have respect and hope that the guy I did it with is well and happy, but I also wouldn't have done all the content stuff in the back end had I not taken that leap. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's so much about, just because the sort of headline idea doesn't necessarily work, it doesn't mean that there's not a ton of value and a ton of experience and a ton of stuff that, as you say, you can just get better at by looking back on some of those things. And you say, you know what, it wasn't all bad. Okay, so that bit didn't fly the way I wanted it to, but I've got all of this out of it, and it's made me a more rounded person, a better person to serve my audience, to deliver value, to whatever it might be. So I really think it's great that you are so honest with it, and that, you know, I was going to say sort of push it out there. That's not quite what I mean, but you know what I mean. You're honest with it, and you just hold your hands up and say, you know, that didn't work, but here's this is where it's taken me, and your business is kind of like a reflection of your own journey through life, which I think is great.
Well, thank you. And the other piece of that, and I'm listening, and I actually ordered the hard copy book, and I'm going to recommend this. It's called Over Deliver by Brian Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z. Mm-hmm. And Brian has old school, like direct marketing, you know, direct mail, all that kind of stuff, worked with Eugene Schwartz, who wrote, you know, oh my God, why can't I? It's in my bookshelf. Anyways, Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz. Yep. So we're talking, like, he's been in this space a really long time. And this over deliver piece is about, you know, over delivering to customers, and your list is a relationship and all of that. So when you start shifting marketing and how you show up online down to that individual, like, oh, okay, well, how would I treat this person in person? And sort of old school human decency, sort of the Dale Carnegie stuff of, you know, being real and being authentic at the same time, like doing for others, all of those sort of basics that have been around forever, they apply online. And people just forget that. It's all relationship marketing. And so it instills trust when you say, I messed up. So let me give you a quick example. So I went to this private mastermind that I was invited to. A friend of mine he literally, it wasn't a paid thing, but he has a podcast. He invited all the guests on his podcast. Crazy, huge marketer names, right? It ended up being really small, which was great for me. but he's one of those people that looks like everything he touches turns to gold, okay? Mm. And just in context, this is not to be impressive, but to impress upon you. So he has the largest selling funnel with ClickFunnels to date. $30 million in 3 months. Like, I can't even fathom that, right? However, you know, and people know that, they know his name and all of that stuff. But what was amazing is he shared all these behind the stories, behind the scenes stuff of some intense, we're talking lawsuits and like just really insane stuff. And I thought, and I watched him from the time he was selling t-shirts on Teespring. That's how he started. And I thought, oh my gosh, I said, you need to tell these stories, right? Because he does, he totally provides value with his coaching and has shifted out of the other model. But I'm thinking, do you know how much more people are going to like connect with you and they see that, yeah, you had this success, but oh my God, you trudged through the mud. Like, like how about taking a risk and paying $80,000 for an email drop? Like, I don't know that I'd have the guts to do that after doing, you know, and those are little tiny things, scared, like calling the credit card company, hey, can we do this? Hoping it works, you know, and taking lots of risks and having some really scary stuff happen. And the point is I think those are the stories that connect you with your audience. And so for me, I always recommend to people, like, baby step into it, being honest. Like, it's a lot easier to say, you know what, guys, I totally screwed this up. Great example, Pete. I think you did that with your email, right? Like, where you're like, oh, let's try the $50 coupon again. Did you, am I wrong on that? Like, okay.
No, so what happened? So yeah, the course was being launched and I was working really late one night to try and get the stuff done. And I was scheduling all the emails in ConvertKit. And lo and behold, I got them all set up and then I spotted a typo in one. So I went back and edited it. And then in ConvertKit, when you do that, you've then got to reschedule. It knocks, if you've scheduled something in the future, you've then got to go and do it. So I just went and hit the red save button thinking that it was all set. And of course it went and sent the email like four days ahead of the thing being on sale. And the first I know about it is that these people are emailing me saying, I've been waiting for this offer for weeks. What do you mean it's over in a few hours?
Okay.
And I'm like, no, 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 no. So then, of course, then it's another email out to the entire, sorry, we all make mistakes, you know.
But right, that's exactly it. And all it does is endear you, in my guess. And for what it's worth, you're going to have trolls and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't test this or blah, 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 right? And it's like, peace out, you're not my customer. So it's fine. And I don't know, it's freeing when you start letting go of that, because all of a sudden you get people who tell you, thank you, I needed to hear this today, or I'm glad I'm not the only one who does this, or whatever it is. It's completely worked to my benefit, and I don't know, it's innately in who I am, and it just makes my life easier.
I know, I completely agree. And I remember when I started this podcast and I had you on as one of the very first guests when I was exceptionally green. So somebody did give me a piece of advice that says, if you record your first 10 podcasts, if you don't listen back to them and cringe, you've done them wrong. And I listened back to those first 10 and I'm like, oh God, what the hell did I sound like? Anyway, if you want to laugh, go and listen to episodes 0 to 9 and, you know, just make sure you got some wine and beer. It's all good.
But isn't that how you get better, right? That's the whole point. I remember, because of the way I talk, I still am stuck in high school in the 80s. I use the word totally like it's the only word I know. And I would listen to recordings, and that's how you get better, because you can hear that piece. And again, there's something about this space that's like, you're not going to launch your first sales page and make a ton of money. You have to practice the craft. And as soon as you look at it, that like, no matter what I do, no matter what trigger I pull, whether it's a launch, an email, it doesn't matter. If I look at it and I just figured out what didn't work, then you just keep course correcting. But so many people throw in the towel after something does or doesn't work.
Yeah, too right. You know what? The thing is, though, and this is where, you know, it was as nervous as anything when I put my name out there as a podcast host with a theme and a niche and all that kind of stuff, regardless of how much I knew in the background and how much experience I had. Getting myself out there as Pete Everett doing that was weird, and it was vulnerable, and it was scary. But you know what? Now I don't even think about that anymore.
Right.
But when something does stuff up, like an email does go out 4 days early ahead of a sale saying that it's nearly over, you know what? I can then just reply as me saying, hey guys, I'm really sorry. I'm working late. I'm trying to get this teed up for you. We're, you know, trying our best to do it. And you know what? Sometimes stuff slips through the net and that's just the way it goes. And because that's my tone of voice, because it's all in my tone of voice, when something like that happens, it's just me being honest with the people I'm always honest with. What, you know, it, nothing kind of changes. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. One of my favorite phrases, and I think this would just help anybody out there, is we overrate our nuisance factor, right? We literally create these stories in our head about the drama of something, and most people don't think twice about it, to be honest with you. We're all pretty busy with our own lives, and it's like, oh, okay. You know, so for the most part, it's like, we're just not that important in everybody else's life that it's the end of the world.
Yeah, too right. And you know what? If you think that you're more than that in other people's lives, you've probably got an overinflated sense of your own ego as well. I mean,
completely. You know.
Hey, welcome to, personal counseling with Pete and Kim.
I know.
Just get over yourself.
Well, and at the end of the day, it's like when you go, oh, okay, what do I think about all day? It's not what other people are doing. It's like, what do I have to get done? So it's freedom. It's total freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and just speaking, you saying the word totally, my words, absolutely. I don't say absolutely in any other sense other than it should be used until I hit record on a podcast. And then it's absolutely, absolutely this, absolutely. I just say absolutely all the time. Anyway.
Yep. Been there.
So we've managed to talk for a good 15 minutes now about you know, making stuff ups, which is great. But this has led you to a point of creating your physical product, which is the Content Creators Planner.
Yep.
So do you want to give us a little bit of an idea about what that is and who it's targeted at and what sort of problem it solves?
Absolutely. So this sounds like a very vague, it's for everybody, it's not. You do need to have an understanding of the digital marketing space. So if you're not comfortable with marketing and creating content across platforms, and for the sake of this discussion, I'm going to say that content that you create on your site, I kind of call it, doesn't have to be cornerstone content, but think of that as your primary content. And then when you start repurposing and chopping and everything else is micro content to me. When you put stuff on other platforms, some people might think, oh, okay, well, I did a Facebook Live and I'm converting that to a podcast. Well, to me, the primary content should still go back onto your website. Yep. And the fact that it's on Facebook is an additional piece of content, but we're always, I know we're on the same page with that, coming back, right? So the content planner was, it's really for creating a 90-day, it's a 90-day planner for creating a content strategy based on your business goals. So you're going to start with, you know, what are a few business goals? Maybe it's add 300 subscribers, it's sell X amount of a product, and interview 3 people, right? So you start with your business goals, then you look at what type of content can I create that supports those goals? Then you look at what is the sort of, and I look at this 2 different ways. There's an offer and there's a call to action. So one might be a call to action could be opting in. It could be registering for a webinar, attending something. And then the offer end goal is what is for sale? At the end of the day, we're in business. So your content should be driving sales. So we start with that and then you drill down and it's like, we've got this whole, content strategy plan. And then we go into a monthly and then we break it down into weekly. And so you're creating a plan, you're filling in the calendar, and the monthly calendar is really for looking at sort of the broad overview of your marketing. So you might say, okay, I've got 2 funnels running this month. I'm going to do a live stream this day. So you're looking at the bigger picture, and then the weekly calendar, you're breaking down into, am I emailing today? Am I creating a piece of content? Which social platforms am I putting this on? And then we've got, you know, different things that you can measure with the monthly and weekly on the bottom. Like I said, sales funnels or calls, not promotions, that type of thing, mm-hmm. paid traffic. And then you're going to measure. At the end of the month, we've got a statistics and we've got I always say on the left-hand side, it's like the money, you've got your sales and anything that's going to be the traffic piece. The right-hand side is your content. The right-hand side's traffic, the left-hand side is sales. And then we have a quarterly. So the point of the planner is I always found that there's a ton of scheduling tools, but that thought process, the mind mapping sort of, you know, how do I want to think this through? And I would always find myself going back to pen and paper. And do you have, hope, I'm going to do a little quick story how this happened, but
yeah, go for it.
It was funny because it was, I don't know, probably just a year ago, my aunt was telling me about this, the bullet journal. You've heard of it. And I was like, huh, bullet journal. I don't know about you. I've tried plenty of daily planners and all of that stuff. I do love pen and paper. I owned a scrapbook store way back in like 1998. I'm pretty crafty. Love, I did lettering, all that kind of stuff. So I get this bullet journal and I'm like, okay, this is great. I loved the paper. It's a dot grid, which is what our note pages are in the planner because I love the dot grid versus lines. Mm-hmm. And I started doing this. I'm like, this is way too structured for me. In the meantime, I'd kind of fallen back in love with pens and paper and all this stuff. So I just started using my bullet journal however I wanted. One day it might be I'm going to map out a funnel. The next day I'm going to talk about my life goals. The next day I'm going to talk about a personal challenge I'm working through. So it doesn't matter. I would doodle anything. So then mm-hmm. I thought, so I started getting into this and I started looking up, and I don't know if you've ever Googled this, Pete, but the whole journaling space is like this massive subculture. There are people with YouTube channels with a million subscribers because they're doing their monthly spread, drawing and doodling. And I was like, what the bucket? Like, this is crazy, right? So then I'm like, this is interesting. So then I did a little test and I took three pictures. This is my hashtag, everything is content. I took a few pictures just with my phone of different spreads that I was doing in it. And one of them, I used the hashtag journaling in Instagram stories. So the first one without the hashtag, I don't know, got like 53 views or something. The journaling hashtag got 500 something views. And then the next one went back to like 50. I was like, this is a market. There's something here. Yeah. And I wasn't at the time, all of this is happening, right? I'm thinking I'm going to be a SaaS owner. But it was just, it kind of kept evolving. And as soon as, fast forward, it was like last August, and it just, the idea grabbed a hold of me. And I was like, I'm going to pursue this. And long story short, found a designer who's my partner, Jody Hirsch, and just really kind of jumped into it. But the planner, I know it's a big story into who it's for and what it's about. It's that ability to think through ensuring that the content you're creating is supporting sales goals and driving your business at the end of the day, because it's so easy to sit down at the computer and be like, what am I going to create today? Like, I have limitless ideas, but if I have a plan and I know that I'm going to do, okay, this month, these three pieces of content are sales driven. And some of that can also be audience driven, right? Like, not mm-hmm. everything has to be like, I'm going to make an offer in this piece of content. That's not what I'm saying. But all of a sudden content feels manageable because you're not thinking I need to be just publishing more, you know, like I like Gary Vee, but it's like this publish more nonsense is overwhelming because how many of us probably have content? I'm going to guess, and this is not putting you in the spot. This is calling myself out. How many of your podcast episodes, Pete, you could go back to and create 10 more pieces of content to keep them in circulation and driving traffic back to those posts. And so I think there's a promotional element that we miss, right? And so that was the purpose of this is it, and it's not all about always doing new stuff, but can you even go back and say, God, this piece of content, I get, you know, $200 a month as an affiliate. What if I promoted it more? Maybe I could up that to $400. And it's little things like that, but the planner really is so that you're looking at your content as, you know, sales driven, if that makes sense.
Completely. You know, hearing you talk through that story, when we're doing SEO reviews for clients, and if you go through the course, the demystifying SEO course that we run, I talk through this process in the course. We sit down with clients, and the very first question we start talking to them about is, so how does this work for your business? What are you trying to achieve with your business? What's the goal? What's the barriers to achieving that goal? You know, if we just chuck a load of traffic at you, that's not necessarily the right thing to do right now. So we need to get you in that position. And we need to make sure that it's the right kind of traffic. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say that's exactly it. And again, it's like we guess that stuff, right? So that's the part of us going, okay, look at your stuff. You don't have to totally understand Google Analytics to be able to say, all right, the top five posts are things that have not, like for me, I mean, I moved a ton of WordPress content to Kim Doyle, but I don't want that to outperform content that is getting people into the planner or content marketing courses, right? So it's like, okay, that's great, but I'm not going to put more energy into that. I need to start pivoting. So you don't have to understand all that, but you have to start looking at it.
Yeah, completely. And you know, one of the things that we find with clients is we often get clients in for like a one-off SEO review or kind of a sort of month's worth of consultancy to come in and fix stuff up. But then those clients that don't initially go onto a kind of monthly recurring sort of deal with us in our agency, we find that they're the ones that we'll always give the advice, you know, look, you need to be reviewing these things once a quarter. You need to be reviewing this twice a year. You need to be reviewing that on an annual basis. And we'll tell them exactly what it is they need to do. And we can guarantee within 6 months, they're ringing us saying, Pete, that strategy that you did, it worked for like 3 months, but now it's just started to tail off. And we'll be saying, yeah, but did you do this? Did you do that? No, we ran out of time.
Yeah.
And they're the clients that then say, okay, right, you know, we're now prepared to pay you monthly because we can see the value in what it is you do. And it's just, it's that accountability to it. So having it written down on paper, we do a lot of our stuff. It is digital, but it's kind of on a sort of dedicated sort of digital platform. So I have my own private boards in ClickUp, for example, where I plan my month and I plan my week. But by doing it that way, I rely on it so heavily that I know when I'm getting to the end of it, I need to start filling it up. Otherwise, stuff is going to fall apart.
So. Yeah, and just a quick side note is, so we do have a PDF version, I'll tell you that, because, and I think this was subconscious. I lost my iPad when I was traveling last month, and I think it's because I wanted to upgrade so I could get the pencil. But so you can pull the PDF into like Notability and some of those tools too, if you'd prefer the digital piece.
Cool, great. That's awesome. You know, I left my iPad at a conference in March. And I'd met some friends at the conference, and we'd just gone to a nearby bar for a drink on the way home. And then the organizer rings me and says, hi, is that Pete? Yeah, I'm holding your iPad. And I'm like, how the heck did you know it was mine? And he just said, oh, well, I like, there was, you know, 600 people at this conference. I met this guy twice. And he said, I went to unlock it. And of course, it asked for your password, but it had some thumbnails that had pulled in from Instagram. And I could see one of you with one of your boys. And I just knew it was you. So I went and got your phone number off the record. And here we are. And
well, that's like, lovely. I left mine at San Francisco Airport, so that was not happening. TSA was not up forthcoming with my iPad.
Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah, but okay, if you really wanted the iPad Pro with a pencil, then I suppose you did it right. Whereas I was half-assed about the way that I did mine, and it came back.
Yeah, I was like, God, you set your intention. This wasn't the way it had to happen, but whatever.
I mean, the product sounds great, and I've got a copy of the digital version. But I do know people. I mean, you're just actually now starting to distribute the printed copies, aren't you? That this is like hot off the press. They are being distributed as we speak, kind of thing, for the first round, aren't they?
Literally, it's. I'll tell you, Pete. It's so fascinating to get into sort of e-commerce and physical products. It just opens this crazy world. And we ended up, I mean, we looked at multiple printers. We had three samples sent, and it literally ended up being the last one that was the highest quality and the best price. And they're based out of Atlanta, where my business partner lives. She literally went and picked them up. And it's just, so, you know, it's still in an early phase, I would say. I mean, not the planner, but, you know, some of the processes we will be using fulfillment, because for the love of God, I do not want to go back to the post office and, you know, keep dealing with that. Neither does she. She actually shipped all the bulk initial orders. But yeah, it's brand spanking new. Still smell, you know, fresh paper.
Just as I was on my way here, I saw a post from Paul Lacey saying, I think my planners have been delivered whilst I've been on vacation. I'm going to suggest that we come home early.
Oh my God, I didn't see that. That's so fun. Paul's the best. I love him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to borrow Lee's jingle, because he seems to get a shout out everywhere.
I know.
He's the man that's on the most podcasts without having a podcast of his own.
Oh, Paul. Yeah.
He's awesome. He's great. But yeah, so they're going, and there'll be a link in the show notes for you to click through straight through to buy. And you've put different packages together, haven't you? So, I mean, people can just buy a one-off. I guess that's probably where most people start, just to see what it's like and how it works. But then you do have sort of annual subscriptions and business packs and packs for agencies and all that kind of stuff as well, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, it's we were very conscious too that it's a 90-day planner, and I said we're going to keep it undated because one, I don't want someone to have to jump in to a dated quarterly whatever, and you know, maybe somebody gets a 90-day planner and they're like, you know, they bust through it, they fill it out, and they didn't get to all the content and they want to just keep going through that. So, you know, we included like checkboxes and stuff. It's like, oh, I did that. So we kept it undated, but yeah, we have discounts too, like for agencies and stuff. And we're looking at, it's going to be really interesting because I do think that's sort of an untapped market where this is available, you know, for business owners, but for agencies that we provide training to their customers, right? So not only because I know that's a huge sore spot for agencies and website builders is getting content and getting their customers to do that. And so if we can provide that support in terms of, look, here's a planner, and then we do, you know, we've got classes. We've got one right now. We'll be tweaking that. But I do think helping agencies help their clients is an added angle we're stepping into.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, whenever we're talking with clients about getting content from them, we have to explain, you know, we are not an expert in your field. That's your part of this collaboration, and that's exactly what it is, a collaboration. You've got the knowledge in your field and in your niche. We've got the experience to get it out online and distribute it and get eyeballs on it. And as long as we work together effectively, this is going to fly.
Absolutely. And it's also, I think there is a shift in the marketplace in terms of people understanding that content marketing simply is marketing. It's not optional. It's not what you do later. It's all intertwined now. And so, you know, as offline businesses start joining the 21st century and connecting those dots, it's anything that you can do to make it easier for them to buy into that is gold.
Yeah, completely. So you've also sort of approach this by not only producing a physical product, but then putting your own funnel around it to sell it, haven't you?
And you just started.
And Kim put a great post up the other day where she said, "Hey, somebody's just bought the order bump on our funnel. I can't believe this stuff works."
Yeah, it was like a little kid at Christmas. Like, what? They bought two and they took the bump. Woo!
So, I mean, we were having a bit of a laugh about this before we started recording, but it's, this whole funnel thing, I mean, it was kind of an idea. Really, it's just a marketing mentality. That's all it is. You know, it's starting with a wide group of people at the top and using content and, you know, other forms of interaction with customers in order to get them to a buying point at the bottom. And you know what, you'll lose some along the way, but that's fine, because what you end up with at the other end is your highest quality customer. But from, it was kind of, I suppose, ring fence by ClickFunnels for a while, and Russell Brunson's done a great job, but you know, ClickFunnels isn't the cheapest thing in the world. But now there's other tools, and I know that we both use Cartflows, which is Adam Prezier's sort of new bringing funnels into WordPress kind of software. But how have you found that sort of that process of doing this for yourself, but for a physical product, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. So, you know, with my partner too, and I'm at a point, it's crazy, when I was like, okay, I'm going to back up. I manage all my own sites and everything, but it's like, so she's setting up WooCommerce, she's done all that. And for us, it was kind of a super direct here. So Jody went with me to this mastermind I was talking about earlier, and we're like, look, we're going to get an ad up. Like, you hit a point, and if I could get anybody to connect us dots, it's like, I'm all about organic traffic, clearly, right? Like, I believe in content marketing. At the same time, you know, you combine that with some paid traffic, and that's how you're going to grow your business. This, I don't want to invest in this stuff. So I was very committed with the planner that the only way we're going to scale this the way we want is to invest in paid traffic in addition to that, right? So for us, it was like, let's get this up. We weren't worried about the perfection of it. We weren't worried about, you know, I mean, the copy was good enough. We took something from the site, we converted it, and then we ran an ad. And we had an ad up from our failed Kickstarter, another one of Kim's lessons. Ready, fire, aim has been my motto. But we had an ad done that converted pretty well, super, super long form. And we're like, let's just do this. Let's pull the trigger and test it. And so, you know, the process of it for a physical book is not It's no different. And, you know, I listen to Russell Brunson a lot, and it's like, for so many people think a funnel won't work for me. It's like, it works for everything. You just have to come back to the mind of the customer. And if you're going to do an upsell or you're going to offer something, don't just offer something you have. Make sure it complements the thing they purchased, right? And so for us, it was like, okay, we had done a masterclass that was a bonus for people that pre-ordered the planner as a way to say thank you. And to stay with integrity, that we're like, well, now we're going to give it away to everybody else. We said, no, this needs to be an upsell. And it's just something we'll put in the cart too. And so we did it. And it literally, it's not rocket science. And so there's now we've got data, because I think the ad's been up a little bit over a week. And, you know, we even went in and it was like Facebook was still learning. It tells you it's kind of learning. And so we're like, all right, let's do this. We're gathering data. And now we'll put pause on that and craft a new ad and do some split tests and stuff. But, you know, the funnel piece of it, it's going to be continually evolving. That's it. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm absolutely committed to doing is a challenge. I don't know if you've seen ClickFunnels did. It's the One Funnel Away challenge. It's a paid challenge. They ship you something physical. It's a crazy box of ton of stuff. And literally, I didn't get to go through all the content, and it's great content. A lot of it is the copy and psychology piece. I don't need to learn how to use ClickFunnels, but the hook story offer piece that he talks about all the time is invaluable. And so I thought, okay, you know, challenges are a way you get a community of people excited about it. It's a short-term thing. We will include the planner as part of the challenge. So it'll be a paid challenge. It's a lead generator. It's, you get a lot of buzz, a lot of noise going on. It's been working. And so that will be a funnel that I refuse to do the ready, fire, aim that I've always done. So we're going to plan it out. It'll probably be this summer, and we'll test it. And, you know, that's all it is. And I think people forget with funnels or any of these things, it's so much better to deploy and learn. You're going to pay one of two ways, time or money, right? So if you don't have the money, pay with your time and go all in. If you can even, like, we're spending $10 a day on ads, Pete. This is nothing, right? But I'll tell you, that one sale of two planners and an order bump, we're still profitable with the ads.
Yep.
Right? And so it's like, okay, this has been a profitable experiment. So how can we keep doing it? So I don't know. Like, to your point, Russell Brunson, truly, I give him credit for popularizing and making the term funnels part of marketing 101, really, at this point. But there's tons of options out there for doing it. And I just wish people would try it and test it. I think we get so over our heads about overcomplicating things. Even just a lead generation, start it. And then on the thank you page, say, hey, by the way, I've got a $7 report. They call that the tripwire. Whatever you want to do, but you have to try it. And it's fun. When it works, it's gold. It's fun.
Oh, tell me about it. And you know, that feeling when you've put one of these things together and then you get an email saying somebody's bought something and you are just like, say what?
Right? Like, I say that, I'm like, nothing beats notification of payment. I literally, this is probably TMI, but I'm like, I was in the bathtub. It was like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, on my phone, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to go to sleep now, but it was fantastic. And I'm like, so I had to, like, I forwarded it to Jody because I knew she's on the East Coast. She'd be up before me. I'm like, woohoo, we have to celebrate. So it works.
It does. It absolutely works. And you know what? As you say, it's not going to be mega complicated. The tools are getting more and more accessible. And, you know, there's plenty of us in the groups and stuff that are starting to see the benefits of using these, not in a kind of sales way that is going to allow me to hire a Ferrari and take some pictures to run some Facebook ads, but that, you know, that it's actually making a difference to our businesses. And I think it's just, it's such a good concept. Matt Davies has also just launched a thing called Funnel Packs, which, if you're running a sort of marketing agency or copywriting agency, they are kind of done for you funnels, but in a way that you can customize them with your own logos and colors and whatever, so it feels part of your brand, but they're already done for you. And it's almost about starting to let people be exposed to what it's like to run these things, because once you start to get the bug, then actually the kind of the world's your oyster. You see opportunities to use them here, there, and everywhere. And I think you've done a really great job with it. So it's great. Go and check it out, contentcreatorsplanner.com. And as I say, there'll be links in the show notes to all of that stuff.
Can I jump in with just a couple little points?
Of course you can. Go for it.
So, you know, it's so funny with funnel packs. Matt had reached out to me and he's like, I don't know. We had talked a while ago and I don't know him super, super well, but do you know how long I was begging Paul Lacy and Devinder? I was like, would you, somebody please create funnel pages for WordPress, please, with these templates? Because I felt like there's site pages and all of that stuff. So I think they're going to blow it out of the water. I'm super excited for them. So there's that, you know, and this other piece where you're talking about, you know, the Ferraris and all that. And I truly think that the BS noisy days of internet marketing, it's just not working, right? I've seen sort of old school marketers is what I call them, the ones who, you know, just promoted each other's $2,000 courses and they were the gurus and all that kind of stuff. They're trying to be authentic and real and their ads have pictures of them and their kids. And I'm all, oh, look who's coming around. But I think if people would look at, this might be a little woo-woo, so we're going back into psychology with Kim and Pete here. But when you look at things in terms of, this was a big aha moment for me. I went to Funnel Hacking Live last year, 2018. I'm like, where am I? And it's wild. It's an intense event. Some of that's not necessarily my speed. I was like, so, I don't know, I was a little peopled out by the end of it. But I had the biggest epiphany. I want to say the first or second night, Russell Brunson. I mean, that company's what, 100 million. And I have an account, but it's on pause, you guys. So I'm not here pimping ClickFunnels at all. Mm. But one of the things that they did, he works with an organization called Operation Underground Railroad, where there's a former CIA agent who is on a mission to stop sex trafficking of children. Mm. And so ClickFunnels has gotten on board with that. And they raised $1 million at that event.
Cool, blimey.
So like the audience of only 3,000 people donated $500,000. ClickFunnels matched it. Not only that, every funnel that is deployed, they give $1 to, it used to be called World Teacher Aid at Stu McLaren. I don't know. They go build schools in Africa. And it hit me that the more you make, the more impact you can have. And it was, we hear that all the time, but I thought, man, like if you start looking at, I have a duty and a responsibility to live my best life so that I can be of service, so that I can, and not everybody has to go support nonprofits to that degree, but you know, you're a family man, Pete, the more you make, mm-hmm. the more you get to provide for your family and spend time with your kids and stuff. So my little just preachy moment is I would hope that people could pivot from things being salesy and marketing, they don't feel comfortable doing it, to, hey, the better off I am, the better legacy I can leave.
That's, you know, that's completely it. And I think there's something that is so grounded in having a purpose that's bigger than yourself. And I know I've done some cycling challenges and different things over the past few years. And it's all been for local charities, local to where I live. People have said, people sort of almost, I don't want to use the word criticize, but sort of queried, but hang on, that's taking you away from your kids for like, you know, 7 days. What are you doing? What, you know, don't you want to be with them? I'm like, I do, but I want to teach them that they need to be thinking about other people. And this stuff is hard, you know? This isn't me going for a jolly for a week.
Well, but you know what, Pete? I'm just going to interject here. Even if you go for a jolly for a week, you get to take care of Pete. Your kids, you know, you living your best life is the best thing you can do for your kids, you know? Yeah. And this judgment about, I literally have zero tolerance for the judgment of how other people live their lives, to each their own. And I think that the more you do that fulfills you, you're not sitting there going, I don't want to see the kids, but you get to take care of you too. That's all.
Yeah.
End
yeah.
rant.
No, a complete, yeah. Hashtag end rant. Mm-hmm. Well, Kim, look, thank you so much for your time. It's been as epic as ever having you on. And as I say, there'll be links in the show notes to through to your stuff. If people do want to find you online, where's the best place that they can go and check you out?
KimDoyle.com, and that's D-O-Y-A-L.
D-O-Y-A-L. There'll be a link to that in the show notes as well. Kim, thank you so much. It's the end of Monday Thursday here, so I'm going to go and have a glass of wine.
I'm going to finish my third coffee.
Yeah. From the future, I can tell you Thursday was quite a good day.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for having me.
No worries. I'll see you soon. It was so good to catch up with you again, Kim, and you've been on such a great journey. The Content Creators Planner can be found at contentcreatorsplanner.com. And show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/048. Our course, Demystifying SEO, is also open for enrollment at marketingdevelopment.academy, and we would love to welcome you on the course to look at how you put together a SEO strategy that involves all of this content that we can plan through all of the advice that Kim has been giving. If you've got any more questions, hit me up in the group.